This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
All right, Houston, this is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer. I'm back at you. As you know, it's the top of the hour, 11 o'clock. We're here as we always are on KWWJ, Keep Walking with Jesus, KYOK, the legendary KYOK, KCOH, The Source, Aliento Radio, and San Geet Radio. And as you all know, call anytime, 832-570-8075. Whatever you want to say to Houston, this is your station. So one of the things I wanted to do, Houston, is it's political season. We've been talking a lot of politics the last month or two. I don't want to lose our grounding. Remember, the show is called A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer. Because you never know when the power of God is going to come through you or through someone near you that's going to touch you. And so I invited really two legendary pastors to join me today because they've both been in ministry. 30, 40 years are some of the original leaders here in Houston. And in a moment, we're going to hear from both of them. One of them is Dr. Robert Childress of Covenant Glen United Methodist. Of course, he was an icon in Fort Bend County, and he's recently opened up his church and his parishioners have moved to Brazoria County. So we'll hear all about him and how that move has been going. And the other is Dr. R.L. Farley. And Pastor Farley is the Greater New Sanctuary Baptist Church. And so they have been involved in the community. They're great guys. Let me just say, pastors, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Well, you know, I always ask because I've had a couple of pastors in the past. Oh, and by the way, we also have Pastor Perry Wooten. You can't see him yet, Houston, because he's sort of one mic over. And of course, he's everywhere. I think there's five of him in this world because he's everywhere. And you always see him there because he's just kind of, he's quiet and he's there with the sunglasses, but everything moves through him. So I want to talk to y'all about something in a second. We have a caller already. I want to get her on because I think I know what it's about. When I come back to you, I want to talk about what inspired you to go into ministry because, you know, mere mortals like me, you know, we go through life. It's an extraordinary calling to be called by God. And I'd like to hear your story as to, you know, did one day you woke up and you said, you know what, my life's not fulfilled. And then God came to you or were you thinking all your life, you know, God, you know, I really want to help people. And so just be thinking about that for 1 second, because we have a caller already, Houston. Who is that caller? Is it Angie? Angie, is there an Angie on the phone? Hold on, Houston. She's coming. Angie. Angie, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Angie, it's Gilbert Garcia. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Gilbert. I hope you are.
I am. And, you know, I have two great pastors with me here. And you know what? Tell them about, this is Angie of Naka.
Correct.
Tell them a little bit about NACA, because I love what y'all are doing. And I think I think it should be everywhere. And I know you're everywhere, but I think it should be on the top of the, or what do they call it? The tip of the tongue of everybody in Houston, because, you know, we all know that in Houston, nobody can afford to live here anymore. Somehow, absolutely, affordable housing is no longer affordable. And I don't know when that first happened, but it's quite clear. And when you combine it with all these bills, people's water bills, you know, my water bill was almost $2,000. And I'm thinking, my gosh, that is obscene. $2,000. And so people can't pay their water bills. They can't pay their food. And now, as everyone knows, I'm running for mayor. And I hear all these candidates and they're saying, oh, I'm going to, you know, it almost like it's poker. I don't play poker, but when they say, I'll see you 500 and I'll raise you 1,000. And they're just trying to see who can spend the most money. You know, I'm going to hire 500 police officers. I'm going to hire 1,000. I'm going to open up 5 BARC centers. I'm going to do, and it's always, I'm going to. And I'm like, well, how are you going to pay? How are you going to pay? Because Houstonians cannot afford any more fees. And they're talking about raising the property tax cap, Houston. They're talking about a garbage fee. And I think the city hall needs to do its part to rein in the uncontrollable spending. But this is where NACA comes in, because I had a meeting with Bruce, who's the head of it, and he's a very, I don't know the right word, but very nice, sort of unassuming gentleman. And he asked me a lot of questions and we talked, and he goes, Gilbert, why don't you come down? We're going to be hosting a 4-day event here in Houston. And I went, and Angie, it was like military. I mean, it was, there were 400 people learning about it. Then there were like 800 computers and people there in front of the computer applying. They had all these counselors. I mean, it was just perfect, perfect order. And I was blown away. And the whole concept, Houston, is they have teamed up with various financial institutions. They are a nonprofit. Because they're a nonprofit, they can eliminate some of the middle people that are for profit. So they will get you below market interest rates to buy a home, below market. So that's number one. And number two, now they're doing a one-stop shopping where now they're building modular homes. And these aren't mobile homes. These are wonderful, nice homes. I saw them. I saw all the activity that they're doing, and they're nice and they're wonderful. They make them in, like, think of it like a big airplane hangar, and then they bring it, raise it, put a concrete slab and bring the home. So it's a one-stop shopping, because by them building it, and because they're a nonprofit, they're eliminating the profit of the developers. And so homes that normally might be $300,000, which, believe it or not, is considered affordable housing. I don't know how that's affordable, but it's almost half the price. So Angie, I think I did a good job setting you up there. Tell us, what is NACA and what are y'all doing to change the face of neighborhoods?
Absolutely. And Gilbert, thank you for having me on. And you did an excellent job. You did an amazing job. Thank you so much. But NACA is definitely changing the way we think about mortgage lending, affordable mortgages, affordable housing, everything under the rooftop and more. NACA stands for Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. We've been in the game for 40 years and counting. We're operating in 48. We have brick and mortar literally in 48 cities across the country, but we operate in all 50 states, including having an office in Honolulu. However, that's not even the greatest part. The spirit behind NACA is that, and I want everybody to wrap your head around this. If you can afford to pay $1,000, $800, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 in rent, why can't you pay that same amount in a mortgage? Why can't you? Because right now, if you go for traditional lending, there are three numbers that's called your credit score that determines that, that is the factor that determines if you can afford a home. Let me tell you something. Three numbers can't tell you nothing about me. Three numbers will never be able to tell you my affordability, what I'm able to do, that I'm able to mediate and manage a household budget. Three numbers can't tell you that. Three numbers can tell you that I may have had some challenges in the past, but I've overcome them. But you never ask me how, looking at three numbers.
And you know what those numbers really are? What we call them in my world, they're barriers of entry that keep folk from being able to qualify to get a mortgage.
And there it is. And then on top of that, Gilbert, you got other things that stop us, that are limiting factors for us attaining housing. You have down payment. Now it's 5, 10, 15, 20% down just to get the mortgage. Well, guess what? We don't have that kind of money laying around. That's not pocket money for us. So we had to change. NACA had to change the way you think about housing and what is really affordable. And that is your demonstrated patterns, your demonstrated spending habits, your demonstrated habits on what you spend for your lodging today. And let me just be the first to say it, if no one else is going to say it, rent is now unaffordable. I've spoken to so many people where their rent is double, increasing every year, $300, $400, and $500. So with the increase in rental amount, you can afford a home. I spoke to someone who's paying $1,800 a month in rent, and this year it increased by $300.
Oh, my goodness.
$2,200. And guess what?
Keep going, Angie. Keep going. I want to say something. You go.
She's been paying that 5 years consecutively, never late, because she needs to pay her rent. So if you can pay $2,200 a month in rent, why can't you? Why can't you pay $2,200 principal, interest, tax, and insurance on a mortgage, and you own it?
Well, let's hear this too, because, you know, the other key thing is the only way communities of color, people of color, families of color are going to break out of this place that they're at is to start creating and developing wealth. What's the best way to develop wealth? Building up equity in your home. So if you're just paying $2,000 a month on your rent, you're not really, you're really on a treadmill. You're not getting ahead. But if you start buying a piece of property, if you're getting a below market rate, if you're getting counseling and help along the way, and then you are paying your money, well, then you're creating wealth within that home that will be with your family for generations. We've got to break this generational stuck in the middle class or in poverty. We got to break that whole mechanism, and NACA is the way to do it. And by the way, you say NACA, I say NACA. It's like potato, patata. I don't know if I'm getting it right or wrong, but that's the thing that gets me, Angie. So let me, I know I've got you a while, but I want to get to my guest. How do people get information about this? I mean, the pastors are here like taking notes. They want to know, how can they let their members know about this?
Absolutely. And I love working with my pastors. I'm always.
Oh, but by the way, I got a quick email. You know, people always send me emails during the show. And yeah. Leticia Gutierrez, who's a wonderful woman, she's a big leader in the community. She's part of the Air Alliance trying to make our air better in Houston. And she said, don't forget the ridiculous home insurance that's going through the roof.
God, yes.
So, you know, she's right. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So it's not just the housing, it's not just interest rates have doubled. It's not just all that. It's everything. The water bills and cable bills. It's just crazy. You can't even get cable TV anymore without being a mortgage. And now, of course, your home insurance. Thank you, Letty. So, Angie, where can people find out about this?
Absolutely. And first of all, let me just pay my utmost respect to my pastors and my ministers that are there. I'm an old Louisiana Southern Baptist girl, so I always pay respect there first, you know.
Amen.
So I definitely want to thank them, because and it's funny that they're there, because that's where we do most of our business.
Is that right?
Because when you're facing these challenges and you're having problems in the home, where do we go? I know where I go. We take it to the Rock. Then we go to our pastors. We go to our deacons. We go to our parishioners, because we, first of all, we need prayer. And we go there. So guess what? We partner with the Ministerial Alliance. A lot of our workshops take place in the church. We do our workshops in the churches, because that's where the bulk of our people are. And you can always find out more about NACA at www.naca.com. That's www.naca.com. You can register and sign up for a workshop, because that is the first step to taking part in this program. But Gilbert, that's not all of it. We also have our HomeSafe program. So for those out there who are currently in a mortgage and facing difficulty paying the mortgage, having challenges making those mortgage payments, we also have our HomeSafe side of the business that works with, we have contract agreements with over 20 banks and services that say if they're a NACA member, they're going to work with us and they'll work with our membership to get their mortgage affordable. If it's not affordable, we'll get it affordable. We've seen rates go down from 8% to 6%, from 6% to 2% to 2%. Wow. You know, we can do that because we're working with the banks and services saying, hey, wait a minute, you're about to lose this property. And you know as well as I do, when the bank loses a property, everybody loses.
That's
when,
right.
When home ownership is lost, it takes a while when you're going into foreclosure for the property to be reassessed and put back on the market. Everybody loses. So NACA takes care of their members by saying, if you have an unaffordable mortgage, come to us because we're going to help you get it modified to make it affordable. Life happens.
You know, I have another email from someone I'm just reading. You know, they pop up and I read them as they go. Oliver Rodriguez says, Gilbert, remember, he goes, we need help. The younger generation is having a difficult time purchasing a home. He's right. Do you know the younger people now, or they're living at home with their parents? They're not able to build up equity. And, you know, we've got to make sure they have the same American dream home ownership that we all had. So,
absolutely,
Andrea, I really appreciate you and I hope you come back.
Absolutely. Anytime, Gilbert. But I don't want you to forget, while the pastors are there, if they can do one thing to help their congregation and help their membership, we need to start getting in contact with all of our local officials, our community leaders, our city officials and county officials, so that the land that is going reverting back to the city's pool, we can get those properties and sell them, give them to the residents there, give the residents first right of refusal. Guess why? Because NACA will assist them in building, rehabbing, and restructuring those properties, making them affordable. We're turning eyesores into palaces. And we're doing it at an affordable rate.
Look, I am so thrilled. I'm so glad what you're doing. Y'all are angels, because remember, the root of so many issues relates to we're not able to solidify our neighborhoods. And the best way to solidify our and stabilize neighborhoods is to get people living there. And when they live there, everything just kind of comes together. And so we've got to find a way. Angie, thank you very much. Let me go to my guest, because Pastor Childress, does this resonate with you? And what's going on with your parishioners? You know, you have a very big church, very well-known church. What are you hearing from your parishioners?
Well, first of all, thank you, Gilbert, for having us on. I thank you. This is indicative of your visionary leadership. Speaking about NACA and how it resonates with us, we've been down this road before. You know, we had the opportunity some 15 years ago, we developed a subdivision in one of the poorest areas in Fort Bend County / the Houston area in Fifth Street. And we developed 113 lots and sold 113 of
That's
those
fantastic.
Lots to Ryland Homes and revitalized an entire impoverished community. And we received, most of these individuals who purchased a home were first time homeowners, and we provided down payment assistance through a grant that we received from the state of Texas. So this is part of our vision, this whole plan of holistic salvation, liberating and empowering communities that you're serving in. So this is huge. In all of these suburban communities, there are pockets of poverty, even in quote unquote, you know, the rich Fort Bend County, all of these communities have pockets of poverty, in which I believe that NACA can benefit from the program that NACA is implementing. So
wonderful. Yeah. Well, Pastor Farley, what do you hear? Pastor Farley, you know, your church has been, you've been in the ministry for what, 43 years?
In the ministry for 43 years.
43. And it seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's kind of like when I tell my wife and I have been married now 24 years. And when we talk to people about being married 24 years, my wife, I'll say, you know what, Pastor Childress, you'll appreciate it. I say, God, it feels like yesterday. And my wife says, well, I don't know about that. It feels like 24 years. And so I don't know what that means, Pastor Wooten, but it means something.
That's a compliment.
It means something. So Pastor Farley, I mean, so 43, what have you seen in your community? Has your community changed? Because you've been there 39 years, right? In the same location?
39 years.
And what have you seen the changes happening in the community?
I like to say I'm just gratified for being here this morning with Mr. Gilbert Sanchez and guests. Definitely in my neighborhood where I pastor, it's a very low income area. And over the years, it have really just revamped from tearing down buildings, building new buildings, and housing is just going up like wildfire. And it's really a very extraordinary thing to hear about NACA, because many folk cannot own a home, cannot buy a home, and the rent is so high. And as she just said, that if you're going to pay $1,500 a month for rent, well, you could be buying your own home.
That's right. I mean,
that's an investment you can be making for the rest of your life.
And for your children. And for your children. You could change the direction of your family.
Your family. I mean, it can go from when the parents move on, then that's something for the children. So it's one of the greatest investments you can make. So I think that's a very good idea, and then not only low income areas and middle income areas, it's just a great thing to know, and I'm very just gratified to hear about it.
Well, we'll get you more information. Let me ask you this, Pastor Childress, what's the pulse of by the way, in the Catholic Church, we say parishioners. Do you say parishioners?
Yes.
Okay. What's the pulse of the parishioners? I mean, are they struggling right now? I mean, it just seems to me every time I talk to people, between the high water bills, food costs so high, gasoline so high, cars are so high, everybody I talk to is struggling. And sometimes I feel when you just talk to the people, a lot of people just one or two checks away from being homeless.
That's right.
I mean, do you feel that? Do you get that from some of your parishioners that it's a hard time?
Most definitely. The some people, granted, doing very well, but that's a large segment of our parishioners that we're serving. You know, as the John Wesley said, the world is our parish. Even people in the church and outside of the church in the community, there is a sentiment of uncertainty. And whenever there's uncertainty, you know, because of what we see on the news, because of the high prices of utilities and food and you name it, creates that uncertainty. And so you're right, not two checks away. A lot of people, even in middle-class communities, are one check
That's
away.
That's right.
One check away out of poverty.
It's real.
Yeah. And so it's 100%. I agree with you.
And what's interesting is, times are, in theory, supposed to be good with an unemployment low and everything, but it sure doesn't feel good.
No.
It just doesn't feel good. You know, it doesn't feel like when you think of the roaring 20s when everybody was doing it doesn't feel like that at all. So, Pastor Farr, let me ask you, maybe part of it is what's just going on in the world. You know, I mean, every time you turn around, first it was Ukraine, and a lot of us, you know, most probably average American doesn't know where Ukraine is. Now, I do because one of my employees, one of my teammates, is from Ukraine. But the key is whether we know the politics or not, one thing you can see is people are dying and suffering.
Yes.
And then you look at Israel and, you know, just imagine Israelis just there one night just being at home and then, bam, they're attacked.
Yes.
And now no telling where it's going to go. Now, maybe that just gets us all feeling, I don't know, uneasy. And then you look at our own country where they attack the Capitol and all these crazy things going on.
Yes.
How do you tell your parishioners, I don't know the right phrase here, Pastor Floyd, but don't give up hope?
Yes, it's a very mind-boggling time that we are experiencing in these last days of dispensation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only thing that really I just continuously expound on is staying focused, keeping your faith, and staying committed, and focus on the cross and not the crisis. But because if you don't focus on the positive things, well, with all, like you just said, Brother Gilbert, all of the chaotic things that we are experiencing in the world today, and people just basically just don't have any hope. If they don't have Christ in their life, they don't have any hope at all. And then that creates more instability of them making bad decisions and bad choices for their lives, and it just put more stress and pressure and everything on them that they're already facing, trying to live from day to day. We have to stress the only way they can survive these crucial things that we're experiencing in these last days is their focus on Christ. You got to have faith in God, because he's our sustainer, and that's all we have. We don't have anything else to rely on. As Brother Gilbert said, we can't rely on our governmental system. We can't that rely on any specific things that just supposedly is going to haphazardly be handed down to you. You just have to just really focus and totally depend upon God.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you the same question, Pastor Childress, but we have a caller for you. Is there a Michelle on the line? I think we have a caller. I saw my producer tell me we had a caller. Let's get that call through here. Producer, go ahead and send that call through to Pastor Childress. Michelle, are you there? Michelle. My sister's name is Michelle.
Hi, Gilbert. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you Michelle? Well, I lost you, Michelle. Michelle, are you there? Well, we'll just keep going. Michelle, call back. We lost you there. So, Pastor Children, how about you? I mean, you know, remember, pastors, this is going to sound silly, but pastors are people too, right? I mean, you know, pastors are people with feelings and emotions, and you're working and you're helping. And are there times you say, my gosh, you know, how am I going to stay up for my community? Because you know, the weight of all this somehow has to get on you from time to time. You know, how do you stay inspired, and how do you stay looking forward and to be that rock for everybody?
Well, first of all, through prayer.
Amen.
Lots of prayer. We, you know, always say never underestimate the power of prayer.
That's right.
And there's a script in the Bible that we quote that we should always pray and not faint. You know, that word faint in that context means quit. Mm-hmm. And so if you quit, you're not praying. If you're praying, you won't quit.
Amen.
And so just the sustaining power of prayer, as Reverend Fawley just said, you know, just realizing that things are going to happen. And one thing I always know, that God is sovereign. God is sovereign in spite of anything and everything that's going on in this world. God is sovereign. And if God is sovereign, he's in control. And so we pray to that sovereign God. Yes, there are a lot of times, you know, like prophets in the Bible, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, who cried, Elijah, who wanted to commit suicide, and Nehemiah, who got discouraged. A lot of times we want to throw in the towel, wave the white flag of surrender and just quit and give up. But God called us to this.
Yes.
And prayer keeps us. And the greater goal of realizing what you've been called to and the Christ, you know, God, the Holy Spirit living in us and living through us mm-hmm. won't allow me to quit.
Mm-hmm. Amen for that.
Even when you want to quit, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit immediately enters your life and you surrender to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives life through you. Like my wife, you just mentioned with your wife.
Yep.
The love of God in me loves the love of God in my wife. Yeah. If we can't love each other in the flesh or express that love, the love of God in each of us love us until we're able to do it in our human form. So I never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit to get more of you. And when you do that through prayer and fasting and reading God's word, you can't quit if you even want right. to.
Well, I want to come back to that. I think we have your Michelle now. Michelle, are you there?
Hi, Gilbert. Sorry about that.
That's okay, Michelle. Welcome to A Tip from Gilbert Talk Inspiration Prayer, where I have my guest, Pastor Farley and Pastor Childress. What can we do for you, Michelle?
Hi, Gilbert. Yes. So, hi, everybody. I just had a quick question for either pastor, but given the current state of the economy and how we are known to be, you know, fearful sometimes and doubtful sometimes, I was wondering if any one of the pastors had a good scripture that the audience can relate to or read at these trying times.
Ah, that's a great one. Hmm. What scripture do you read? Pastors, I'll frame it that way. When these are trying times, what do you read to sort of get you back, you know, get you back? Pastor Farley, does anything come to your mind?
Not really any scripture in particularly. Just that I just stated earlier. That your relationship with God is your that's your strength, having a relationship with God, and if you have that personal encounter with God, and then you can always go to God, as Pastor Childress just said, in prayer and with the mindset that you know there's no other hope, there's no other help except you go directly to the source, which is our helper, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we have faith that He is our strength and our survivor in these last days. Well, we have to look to Him for everything, and if we do what we can do in these very critical times. I have to keep saying that because it's so, as Brother Gilbert said, we experience some very, crucial things going on in this world that I didn't think in my 7-8 years I would ever experience with all of the wars that's going on and all of the crucial events that we're experiencing and racialism and all this kind of stuff going on, turmoil in government and you, sometimes you don't know whether to go right or go left. And so you don't have but one hope, and that's the hope of your faith that's in God. Amen. So you have to maintain a close relationship with God. And anytime that you get down, you get out, don't know which way to turn, you just look to God.
That is a great advice. Pastor Joseph, how about you? Is there a scripture or something that you read or you reflect on?
Yes, Michelle, I'm going to give you two scriptures. And this is one that I live by in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where it says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, when it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, between verse 26 and verse 28, it says, and those he foreknew, which is those who have confessed the hope in him, that the reason why God sends these trials and send us allow hard times to come in the midst of all of these hard times, all he's doing is trying to conform us to the image of his son. He wants all of us to look more like his son, more like Christ. And to do that, we got to take the good and the bad. We accept the mountains and the valleys, the roses and the thorns, and just hold on and don't operate in fear, because if you're operating in faith, fear cannot reside or come where faith resides, because the enemy to fear is faith. And so there's another scripture that said, I'm going to trust in God with all of my heart and lean out to my own understanding in all of my ways. In all of our ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And just tell yourself every day, I would not have the spirit of fear. I would not have the spirit of fear. God didn't give me that spirit, but I'm operating without faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
Michelle, what do you think?
That was beautiful.
Wasn't it great? You know, now, Michelle, I'm not a person of the cloth, but I think I'm myself as a spiritual person. And, you know, I've been through peaks and valleys in life. And when I've had difficult times, I remember one vividly about 15 years or so ago. And I turned to my priest and he was there for me. And I think that was a eye-opening moment that has led me to really try to help others and my philanthropy and things of that nature. So there's one that I have. It's not a scripture, and I don't know if it's a poem or it's a prayer, but it's that footprints in the sand. Love that. And I don't know what it really is. I think it's one of those things that's just been handed through time that has sort of an unknown author. But at the end of the day, it's a story about a person, and I'm going to use the term man, a man walking with Jesus on a beach. And as they're going walking on the beach, he's looking at in the sky and he's seeing his life and all the things in his life. And then he reflects back as they're walking at the footprints. Mm-hmm. And he noticed there are two sets of footprints all along the way. But yet there are a few times when there's only one set of footprints. And the man looked up and he saw that when there was just one set of prints, he noticed that's when, because he was looking at his life in the sky, a sort of a movie of his life. And he noticed when there was one set of footprints, that was when the times were most difficult for him. Right. So he said to Jesus, he goes, Jesus, you know, I know you love me. He goes, but how come when I went through the most difficult times, you abandoned me? And he goes, my son, he goes, when you went through those difficult times, I didn't abandon you. Those were the times I carried you. And I don't know, that just gives me the chills. And I just think about that. And I just think it's one of the most beautiful stories. And so I do think there are times that we look and we might be angry, but believe me, he's carrying us. Am I right? Pastor Children, absolutely. He's carrying us. Michelle, thank you for calling, and I hope you call back again. I want to give a quick commercial, only not commercial, but a quick statement, because don't forget, and of course I'm running for mayor, and of course I want everyone to vote for me. But more importantly than voting for me is I want everyone to vote. Vote for whomever you want to vote for. Make your voice heard. It gets frustrating when people say, well, this community just doesn't vote, or that community doesn't vote. We hear that all the time, Latino community, or people that are, you know, limited in means, or they don't vote. Let's prove them to be not true. Vote, vote, vote. Get involved. Listen to the issues. And by the way, during this cycle, my top-notch person, Dominic, said, he gave me this, which shows you that during early voting and election day, Metro is providing free trips to the polls. So believe me, there's now no reason not. Oh, by the way, someone says, be still and know that I am God. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Thank you, Paula. Going back, early voting is October 23rd, which is just a week away, to the 29th. And election day is November 7th. And you can ride free to the polls. All of it. Metro Rail, Metro Rapid, Metro Local Bus, everything. So, Dominic, I don't know if you're on the phone, Dominic. Is Dominic on the phone? Dominic, go ahead. Tell us about it. Dominic is our resident Metro expert. Dominic, talk to me. Dominic.
Hey, Gil.
So,
hey,
go ahead, Dominic.
There's a couple of things I want to throw out. Number one, I've done some research about these bike lanes. And from what I can gather from the Metro side and the City of Houston side, number one, there has not been a vote of the people about what to do with these lanes on a street. I'm not talking about parks, bayous, or old railroad crossings. I'm talking about blocking streets. There has been no election on it. There's been no EIS, I think, environmental impact statement. And even I was along a Metro built bike route on Cavalcade this morning. So I think this, we need to have more discussion on this, like Metro is doing with Metro Next. Second of all, starting Monday and all the days that we're having voting, if you have a voter's registration card, you can ride Metro free to the voting place. So there is no excuse for you not to get off your caboose and go vote and be a good citizen. With that, I have no other comments.
Dominic, thank you, my friend. You always have the right idea. We're talking about bike lanes for 1 second. You know, again, I've been traveling around. I feel like that song by Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. And he lists all those cities. Well, I've been in all these neighborhoods. I've been on the north side, the south, east, west, everything. And, you know, bike lanes are one of those issues that people are very passionate about it. And I have my own views, but here's my main view. And I know, you know, people who are bike people, and there are people who are car people. I think I'm just a person, but I love them both. But here's my issue. Someone told me it costs about $1.5 million to do a bike lane for 1 mile.
Wow.
Yeah. And I get the concept of you're improving the sidewalks and other things, which is wonderful and important. But as I've traveled around Houston, I have seen so many parts of Houston that have open ditches. Mm-hmm. I have seen so many parts of Houston where the open ditches are not mowed, and there's no way the water's going to flow out, that's Pastor, right. Yeah. Because there's grass and there's debris in there.
Yes.
I have seen neighborhoods where there are stray dogs, where there is illegal dumping. Yes. And so I just think we as a society and a community need to get together, and there needs to be a more equal balance on city spending. And before we can do luxuries,
yes,
we really need to do the must-haves.
That's right.
Like picking up garbage, like getting these areas where water can flow through. We just really need to do those sorts of things. And stray animals. I've had people would tell me, you know, the stray animals where, you know, they're afraid to have their children go outside and play. And so I think we need to do must-haves, and we need to balance out the spending in this community. Do you ever get that feeling, Pastors? Or am I just sort of making more out of it?
No,
I got one more thing to say.
Oh, Dominic, go ahead, Dominic.
Also, too, I was doing some research for you. We have, and then this goes back to Houston Galveston Area Council. They have this thing called the Transportation Policy Council. When federal monies are coming into the area, they go to HDAC, and then there's a divvy up thing, and that's part of Proposition B, and I'm not going to go off the rails on this. But I was looking through that document from last month's meeting, and I saw something, and I saw it just blew my eyes. They want to do on North Line Drive from Canino Road to Parker Road, where they've been on 11th, put a bike lane in. I live 3 houses from North Line. Nobody rides a bike down North Line. This bike lane will not connect to anything else in the city. I know there's I know there's a lot of high speed traffic on North Line, but I think some maybe spend some of this money to put a cop on patrol, maybe, you know, I think there's other ways this could be done. And again, I'm the only one on my street that knew about this.
Well, you know, and you brought up a good point, which is the number one issue I have found. And again, like Johnny Cash, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. Is public safety. Nobody feels safe. And everybody knows somebody who's been a victim of crime. Even I was sitting there with my daughter and some of her friends the other night. And lo and behold, one of my daughter's friends, all of 16 years old and all about this tall, if you could see me, you know, had her car stolen out of the Galleria. And you think the Galleria, which is our Rodeo Drive and all these nice stores, would be one of the safest areas. Her car was stolen, and it took a long time for the police to come. And at the end of the day, they have it all on camera. And they said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, what good are the cameras for? You know, sometimes you just got to make sense of all this and call out things that don't make sense. So, again, I think we've got to put things in priority. And the number one thing we got to do, not to give my whole political spiel, is we got to focus on public safety. We got to implement the will of the voters on the firefighters. And we got to audit these departments where there seems to be a lot of either incompetence or corruption, whether it's the housing department, the health department, and other things. Dominic, I'm going to tune you out now, but thank you for calling in, my friend.
One thing, Gil.
Oh, go ahead.
With police department, why don't we take the police officers that are retired, can't work because they're injured or on light duty, put them in those civilian jobs. They know the system. That's one way to get more active cops out there. Okay, you got it.
Thank you, Dominic. Thank you for calling in as always. So Pastor Childress, I want to get something in here as a topic because, you know, believe it or not, time is flying. I want to ask you, what inspired you to go into ministry? Was it something like your whole life calling, or was there a moment where something happened to you and you said, God, I'm here, I come?
Well, yeah, my calling may be a little different from other callings. But, you know, I didn't have that Pauline experience where I was a persecutor of the church and a great light from heaven came and knocked me down. But I answered my call to ministry when I was a teenager.
No kidding.
When I was a teenager. And my thing is that God called, once you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, he called all of us to ministry. But I felt like that I wanted to do something even more because we're all ministers. Once we accept Christ, we're all ministers. The Bible talks about a priesthood of believers. You're a minister running for mayor. That's ministerial work. I mean, you're doing work in the community, no separation of the secular and the sacred. But I felt as though that God was calling me to a higher order, and I wanted to go into the specialized ministry of word, order, and sacrament to preach God's word because I knew I had a calling outside of myself. And I received that as a teenager, you know, through dreams, through my talking with my minister and my father and just my desire to want to do something for the church.
Well, let me ask you, do you remember your first time you preached?
I do.
And were you nervous?
I was.
Pastors,
believe it or not, I'm nervous every Sunday.
That's right.
Well, that's the thing. Pastors are people. I mean, is it like you have butterflies? It's exciting, like an NFL player must be when they're getting ready to go on that field. They got to be excited and ready. And some of them listen to, you know, rock music to get ready. Well, pastors, I mean, you got to get that feeling. So were you nervous the first time?
Nervous the first time and been nervous every Sunday.
You know what? But I've seen you preach. You don't look nervous and you don't seem nervous. I mean, you really are inspiring, but so, you know, you don't see any of that, but that's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is in the preparation. You know, we preparing, you know, some 18, 20 hours a week preparing for it. Mm-hmm. You have great anticipation right up until the moment of delivery. Once the moment of delivery comes, as a sportsman would say, it's game time.
Yeah.
It leaves, but up until that moment, when it's time to do it, there's a great sense of nervousness because, you know, you have souls in your hand,
right?
You know, and a lot of people are hinging upon every word that you say.
That's right.
And you can say the wrong thing that can really be the death of someone spiritually or emotionally. And so I take that very seriously. I pray an hour before every Sunday. I get up and just get on my knees and pray and talk because it's not my word. God is channeling his word through me. And And I take people's souls seriously. I tell any minister who comes there, this is not a performance. It's nothing you play with. But, you know, this, because there's a difference between preaching and giving a speech.
That's right.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
very interesting. So that first time you did it, was it so fulfilling that you said, I made the right decision?
I made the right decision.
Very interesting.
I love what it's all I know how to do. I wouldn't know what else to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, it shows. It shows that you love it. And you can see the love in the faces of the parishioners that they love it too. Does that make sense? Yeah. You can tell because I've been there. I've seen you. I think it's wonderful.
You know, it's called, you know, anointing. Anointing is not easy, but you do it with ease.
Mm-hmm.
What you do, you're anointed to do it. You know, you're anointed to run this successful business that you're running. It's not easy, but you do it with ease. You're a public servant. You're a public leader. It's not easy, but you do it with ease. You connect with people. That's why you make a great mayor. It's because you're anointed to do this. You're That's anointed right. to public service. That's you're right. anointed to do what you do. And so, but it's not easy.
It's not easy.
You do it with ease. I look at you and you do everything that you do with ease.
Thank That's you, right. Pastor. I really appreciate that. Pastor Farley, how about you? Do you remember the first, well, I mean, first of all, how did you get, like, did you get a moment you said, you know what, I'm going to go into the ministry? Or did it just sort of happen? And do you remember your first time that you said, you know, here I am and I'm going to give a sermon?
Yes. My calling was, I mean, it was just phenomenal and something that you just can't really explain because, first of all, going into the ministry wasn't my choice. And then God, he exposed himself in a dream. I had a dream. And through that dream, I was convicted. And I was with the superintendent of Sunday school and the assistant, and there were some people in a village, and they were being crucified and beaten, killed, as of what we are speaking of, as Brother Gilbert said earlier, as what we're experiencing with the Hamas and the Israelis situation. And we were at that entrance to where that was going on at that gate. And we were told to go in and help rescue those peoples that was being killed and crucified. And the superintendent of the Sunday school told me, he said, Brother Farley, you need to go in there. I said, man, I'm not going in there. I said, you've been a Christian longer than I have. I said, you go in there. And then the assistant superintendent, he said, yeah, Brother Farley, you better go in there and save those people. I said, well, hey, man, why don't you go in there too? I said, both of y'all have been Christians longer than I have. And he said, no, but God told you to go in. I said, how you know God told me to go in? He said, because he told us he told you to go in. So,
that's a good one. God told us he told you.
Nevertheless, with the boldness, I went in. And through that experience, what God let me reveal as I went into try and free those people, I was confronted with a guy with a gun pointed right in my face.
Oh, no.
And he said, I'll kill you if you try to open that door where those people are. I said, God told me just to come and free the people. I don't have no reason to harm you, nothing of the kind. I said, I just want to free those people. And he, as I approached the door, the go in forward, he pulled that trigger and shot emptied the gun in my face, and I just knew that I was dead. But after the smoke cleared, I walked through that door, and I said, well, you mean I felt my face? I wasn't dead, and I'm still living? Man, you talking about amazing.
Wow.
And when I walked in, those people knew me because they were some of the parishioners of the church. They said, oh, Reverend Farley, didn't call me Brother Farley. Reverend Farley have came to rescue us. Oh, thinking they were just praising the Lord. And I was so mind-boggled, I couldn't comprehend what had happened. So I had to call my uncle and share that with him. And he told me, well, son, God is calling you to preach.
Amen.
And I called my pastor and relayed the same thing to him about 4:30 that morning. He said, yes, I knew, Farley, God was calling you to preach because I've been watching your mannerism and your conduct for the past few months. And you have really changed. But it wasn't my choice. So I'll say this, that many were called, but few were chosen. And like Pastor Children said, it's a sad day that many so-called, if I may, pastors wants the title, but they don't have a testimony. Mm-hmm. So this is a serious business, and you shouldn't take this literally. It's nothing to play with. It's your opportunity to be a servant for God, and it's something that you don't retire in. You work till the work is done.
Amen. Now, I know we have another caller. Hold that thought. Shantae, is there a Shantae on the phone? Oh, we lost her? Okay, that's quite all right. I think those are such great stories. And, you know, it really lets people know that the mystery of being called to faith is just another great mystery, like all the other great mysteries of God.
Yes.
You know, like how did he create this beautiful, all the animals that walk the earth, all the beautiful plant life, all the beautiful fish. I mean, the great mystery is just another great mystery.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think that's amazing. I'm going to do this because, do we have another caller? Shantae, you have me, a tip from Gilbert, talk inspiration and prayer. We've only got a few minutes. I want to make sure we get it in. You have Pastor Farley and Pastor Childress. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, this has been a very, very good show today. I mean, I'm just so shocked at all the things what NECA is doing and what the pastors are doing. So I just wanted to, first of all, thank the pastors for all their work that they're doing, because we must pray for the officials. We must pray for the leaders. We must pray for our pastors, you know, because the positions that they're having is major from God. So, you know, we have to continue to uplift them in prayer, because if ever a time is right now, everything that's going on in the world, you know, we need to draw nearer to him. So I appreciate everything that you all are doing, and just want to, you know, continue to pray for you all.
Well, thank you, Shantae.
That's awesome. You got a quick prayer? I mean, not prayer, a quick question or anything there, Shantae? We got about 2 minutes.
I do have a question.
Please.
So I wanted to know, like, how do you all go about, I mean, you know, because I know the workers are few, to get the goals that you are trying to get out there in the world. I mean, just everything that's going on. And how do you get people to commit to helping the good, you know, like, how do you get to, because there is so much that's going on and so much needed. How do you get people to go out there and actually do the work?
Amen. That, Pastor Childress, what do you think? How do you recruit other, I'm going to use a phrase, soldiers of God? How do you recruit others to do good?
Well, since we're limited on time, I'll say it like this here. If people see that it means everything to you, then it'll mean something to them.
So amen.
I'll just kind of sum it up like
yes,
that.
I yes, think that's yes, right. Pastor Farr, you got a comment on that?
Yes, I agree with that. Productivity.
Amen.
Yes. We need to be men that work together, stand together, And the Bible says, if we pray together, we can stay together.
Amen. Well, that's it. We got only 1 minute. We're going to play our commercial. Houston, I just wanted to get back to our basics, which is talk, inspiration, and prayer. And that is why I asked two of my spiritual advisors to join us here today, because in these times, I think we need prayer more than ever. And so somewhere, do something nice for somebody. When you see someone that's hurting, give them a hug. Give them a way to go. You know, drive friendly out there. You're at the red light, you see someone that looks like they're distracted. They're probably having a hard day. Give them a smile. Let's get back to those little things in life that can just help and uplift others. I'm Gilbert Garcia. Talk, inspiration, and prayer. We will see you next time.
This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at garciaforhouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.